Welcome to The Word is the Way to Life, also known as the Pastor's Thoughts and Prayer. We're grateful that you tune in, and we are studying, and we've been going now for quite a while, looking at Solomon and his book of Ecclesiastes. What a joy it's been to study God's Word so far with the New Living Translation. You know, we learn from people. We have brothers and sisters in Christ that we get together with, and we encourage one another. Solomon is a very interesting person, and he learned about life the hard way. He also was a king, and he was very wealthy, and he didn't need much as far as that part goes. And when God asked him what he wanted him to give him, he said, "Well, I got most everything. I would like to have wisdom." And God gave him wisdom. I think it kind of goes back into the Garden of Eden when, it was a pretty nice place. Adam and Eve had it made, and God said, "Okay, you can do anything you want in here, but don't go over to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Leave that one alone, because if you mess with it, you will surely die." And you know what happened. They messed with it. And we've been having these challenges all along. But there's an antidote to that. Hallelujah. God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, into the world with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Solomon, he went through all that stuff, but then he started analyzing. And then when we get to chapter 12, which we're not that far away, he's come up with the conclusion. And I think it's a wonderful thing, just like King David did and all. When we repent and we understand and we try to follow God's ways, we'll be healed. So, here in chapter 8, verses 10 through 17, the subtitle of this particular part is "The Wicked and the Righteous." Oh, there is good and evil in the world. Oh, yeah, there's good and there's evil. There's wicked and there's righteousness. Let's see what Solomon has to say, New Living Translation. Chapter 8, verses 10 through 17. Hear God's word. "I have thought deeply about all that goes on here in the world, where people have the power to hurt each other. I've seen wicked people buried with honor as they honor each other. I have seen wicked people buried with that. How strange that they were the very ones who frequented the temple and praised in the very city where they committed their crimes. And then when they die, they bury them with honor. So when a crime is not punished, people feel it's safe to do wrong. Boy, but even though a person sins 100 times and still lives a long time, I know that those who fear God will be better off. The wicked will never live long, good lives, for they do not fear God. Their days will never grow long like the evening shadows. And this is not all that is meaningless in our world. In this life, good people are often treated as though they were wicked, and wicked people are often treated as though they were good. This is so meaningless. So, I recommended having fun, because there's nothing better for people to do in this world than to eat, drink, and enjoy life. That way they will experience some happiness along with all the hard work that God gives them to do. In my search for wisdom, I tried to observe everything that goes on across the earth. I discovered that there is ceaseless activity day and night. This reminded me that no one can discover everything God has created in our world, no matter how hard they work at it. Not even the wisest people know everything, even if they say that they do." Wow, that's interesting, isn't it? Well, I ask God to bless our reading and hearing and understanding of his holy and precious word, and a little Ralphieism added in between there. It's like the proverbial elephant in the room. It's the issue of God's justice, and has laid behind much that the teacher, Solomon, has said in previous chapters. But, I love the buts, he has not addressed it directly. But today, he finally did. Chapter 8, verse 9, notes that those in authority may use their power to oppress others. The question naturally aspires this. How can God allow this? Well, the teacher knows of the wicked people who ended their days and were honored by their fellow citizens. Nothing bad had ever happened to them. Even more baffling is that they regularly enter into God's presence and left unscathed and with their hearts unchanged. Others see such things, concluded that God doesn't judge evil and sets about devising evil schemes on their own. Well, I don't think this can be right, because the teacher protests. He says, I know that it'll go better with those who fear God. I like to translate that particular word better. Love. Agape kind of love. I know those who love God. But then he reflects again on his experience, and righteous people get what the wicked deserve and vice versa. Now, there's a clear contradiction here, I know, that the teacher brings this out by sandwiching verses 12, 13 together between 11 and 14. You can go back and look at it. To us, the solution may seem obvious. There will be judgment after death, where apparent inequities would be addressed. But the teacher, I love the buts, the teacher remains absolutely on life. He calls it on earth, life as we know it. So he leaves the contradiction unresolved for the moment. But in effect, he said, I can't figure it out. God cannot leave the righteous being evicted and the wicked unpunished. Yet, that is what it often seems like, doesn't it? They get away with everything, the wicked. In the NIV version, meaningless may not be entirely suitable at other points in Ecclesiastes, but it does fit quite well here, because God seemingly is contradictory his dealings with humanity to indeed constitute a serious obstacle to any attempt to find meaning in life based on belief in God. Solomon's response is one that he had made already. He said, enjoy the pleasures that lie readily in hand, you know, like food, drink, and good company. It'll help you to endure the toil in this life as you work hard. Well, why break your head over life's insolvable enigmas? Nobody really understands what happens under the sun, as he calls it. Indeed, the effort to understand all that God has done, perhaps at the cost of sleepless nights, it's just another example of pointless human activity. I often wondered about that, all this stuff that we do and how it's important. And we don't, I don't know. I like what Solomon is evaluating and thinking. I think this is the most empathetic statement in Ecclesiastes about the limits of wisdom. Ecclesiastes, in general, points to the prize of wisdom, but it warns us that wisdom can take us only so far. Amen. That's when we need Jesus. Well, I digress again. In the end, we have to admit that we do not understand what's going on and that God's actions in the world are mysterious to us. As Christ followers living in an era which has been seen to be having tremendous advances in human knowledge, you know, like AI and all this kind of stuff, we find that this teaching is very difficult. Nonetheless, wisdom to accept it, acknowledging God's sovereignty, which includes accepting that God is under no obligation to explain himself to us. Think about that. Look at that book of Job. God's given us such wonderful wisdom through the scriptures, hasn't he? And it's the only secure basis for life in God's world is a relationship with the living God through his son, Jesus Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit. You know, and the Apostle Paul, he also experienced a lot of these things. Now, he went through challenges. He was one of the worst dudes you can ever imagine. He persecuted the church, and you know what happened there on the road to Damascus, and he finally realized that he saying about Christ is the one whom is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. So does Solomon point about the limits of our understanding remains valid for Christ's followers today. Two objections could be raised to Solomon's advice in Ecclesiastes 8:15. First, it's hard to enjoy simple pleasures when your mind is occupied with perplexities. Second, it seems heartless to dismiss life's enigmas by simply pouring ourselves another drink. What would I know about that? Well, I like to drink. How about you? How have you responded to all these things we call life? Well, this segment is also a segment that we close with as a prayer of agreement with and for those people that we know that need a touch from God. We list some that we know about on the slides that you can click on here at the church. But, you know, you don't need a preacher. You don't need anybody other than you to go into your closet, as Jesus said, and pour out your heart. Learn to talk to God for yourself. But intercessory prayer is so important. Also, we need to pray for one another. When somebody asks you to pray for them, we need to acknowledge that and do it. But by the same token, sometimes you have to minister to them and let them know that they can talk and bring that request to God themselves in person. So it's a wonderful thing to be able to have an intercessory prayer and acknowledge the prayer of people. That's why Jesus, I was listening to somebody the other day and I never heard it referred to as this. You've heard me say that the Lord's Prayer was in John 17. That's when Jesus prayed for us. Now, the prayer that we commonly call the Lord's Prayer, he said is disciple prayer. Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray. So we close this segment with a model prayer that Jesus taught by praying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Yeah, there's an evil one in this world. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for tuning in to The Word is the Way to Life. And we love you and we thank you for being there. And hope and pray that you got something out of our little time together. And if you ever have a chance, give us a call. Call us. Send a text or an email. We'd love to hear from you. And thank you for tuning in to The Word is the Way to Life, Pastor's Thoughts.